before I get into it, I just, as often when I stand in church, it's funny, you know, the heart of God is always to speak to people. It's always to engage with your life. And I've just got a couple of words for a couple of people here this morning. And I was just looking around, and it's funny, sometimes you just feel God wanting to speak to someone. So Tom, I just think this morning that God really does want to speak to you. I get a sense that this year that there's something of a freedom and a new sort of openness of you being able to express what God's doing in you that He's actually wanting to bring into your world. It's a bit like there are times you feel like you're doing things and you get so far and you come up against a wall and you know your heart is good and God sees that and he sees that. The heart, but sometimes, you know, there's a sense of frustration that I know there's more, and God's saying, I see that, and I believe over the next month there are going to be things that He's going to show you that is actually going to break down some of those barriers and those things that actually inhibit you expressing all the things that God wanting to do with you. And I just believe that this year, you know, as a church, we're having a year where we're talking about multiplication, that there's going to be actually a multiplying effect in your life and in your world. And that's what the heart of the Father is for you. And He's saying, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep pressing ahead, because there is breakthrough there. There are things that are going to happen, and there are barriers that are actually going to be removed and taken out of the way, where you're going to feel like you jump into your slipstream. So just stay focused and stay faithful to God, and I believe that's what He's going to do. June, I just saw you there, and you know, on a personal level, I know some of your journey, but this is what I believe, you know, God wants to say to you this morning. I think this year is going to be a significant year for you. God has blessed you in many ways, and He's actually given you an ability to be an influence with people and bring people with you. And I think this year, just really look out for the fact that God is actually going to work through you in strategic ways and strategic relationships. And some of those things maybe have just come natural to you. But there's a way where for His kingdom, God wants to actually ramp that up to a greater level and use you to influence people in a greater way. You don't have to try and be anything you're not. It's just really a case of being faithful and allowing God to work through you, you know, perhaps in a greater way. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt what He's called you. Don't think that you've almost reached a point where you know, you've plateaued, because I think maybe that really is the word of the Lord this morning for you, is that you haven't plateaued, that God's wanting to take you to new places. He's wanting to take you to higher places, and He's wanting to use you to be a greater influence in His kingdom. So let's, yeah, you make sure you go for it this year, and there's going to be some exciting things that are happening in your world this year. And Mick Weeks, of course, I know Mick really, really well. Mick's on our board. But I just believe this morning that God is wanting to move among you in just a really fresh and new way. There's a freshness and newness that He's actually wanting to bring. That this year He wants to actually bring that into your business life. He wants to bring that into your family life. And perhaps, you know, you're at a point where you think, you know, I've got things worked out, things sort of sit in boxes, and you know, a lot of years of working hard and doing things, but I just believe this year that there's going to be a lid come off in the way that you work in your business and the way that you work with people in your family. Like there's just going to be a greater sense of God confidence, and even, you know, at work, I just believe as you trust God that people are going to see that, and that there's going to be questions asked, you know, what's happened, what's gone on with Mick. But just keep walking it out, keep doing it, but this building, this God confidence that He's wanting to build in you. And my brother here, friend here, I should remember your name, but I can't. Chen. And I just got a sense that God's saying, He wants you to know just absolutely how much He loves you. That he, you know, we talk about this, and sometimes it can be a cliche, but God loves you so much He loves you absolutely so much. And when he sees some of the things that you go through, when he sees some of your personal pain, when he sees some of the things that, you know, you triumph in, you know, his heart's moved. And he's with you. And I just believe that he wants you to know this morning that he's going to walk this journey with you, that he's got plans, he's got things ahead of you, and things that you can't even imagine, things that you haven't even thought of yet, God has got for you. And he wants to use you. You are going to be a strong and solid young man in the kingdom of God. You're going to be somebody that encourages and lifts other people up. And I don't know where you're going to end up and where you're called to be, but I do know that God wants to use you in a mighty way. So this year, I believe, is a season where God is going to prepare you. He's going to prepare you. He's going to make you stronger. He's going to give you an understanding of what he is and who he is and where he's leading you. So be excited about that and just go for it. But whenever you feel discouraged, I just believe the word of God is just remember absolutely how much he loves you. He just loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And he thinks you're so special. So well done. All right, let's have a seat. And thanks team, thanks band. Welcome back to people that have just got back. I noticed Josh and Katie back from their holiday. Well done. And Eccles back from Coles Bay. And I could go on and on as I look around. So fantastic to have you back with us if you're here for the first time after a few weeks. Good stuff. So this year we've been talking about a year of multiplication. We're believing for a year of multiplication. And yeah, there's an element of where as a church we're believing that God will multiply all sorts of areas that we work as a church. But I believe that what he's doing among us at a sort of a bigger level, if you want to use that word, you know, corporate, which just basically means gathering together, he actually also wants to do in your life at a personal level. He actually wants to multiply things in your world personally. Some of the things that perhaps you've been battling with and wondering about, and you know, as you get to that point where you think, gee, I wish I could break through in this. I wish I'll get past this point where I am in my finances. You know, I wish somehow I could get the credit card back down off its max. You know, some of those things that you're thinking about that you would like to see happen, I believe they are the things that God is wanting to do in your life this year on a personal level. At a church-wide level, he wants to multiply us. It's not just about adding. It's not about adding numbers. There's an incredible thing when multiplication happens. You know, we said last week, 3 + 4 = 7. Now, that's very, very, very complicated stuff, isn't it? 3 + 4 = 7. But to multiply, to increase, means to increase greatly in number or quality. To increase greatly in number or quality. So God actually is wanting not only for your world to increase maybe numerically, but he's actually wanting the quality of your life to increase. He actually wants the quality of your marriage to multiply. He actually wants the quality of your relationships to multiply. He actually wants the quality of the time that you spend with him to actually multiply. And he's not saying, Sam talked about time he spends with God this morning, that he has to plan for that and he has to make sure that it fits. But we've all got to do that if we're going to make it happen. So it's not necessarily about having to spend more time with God. It's actually about multiplying the effectiveness of the time that we are put aside for him. It's about multiplication comes when the Bible says that we pray continually. It says that we don't only pray that when we go into this time of a quiet time in the morning. It says that you continually have that relationship with God. And I believe multiplication happens out of that. So multiplication is, see, 3 × 4 = 3 + 3 + 3 = 12. And as the figures go up, it just increases exponentially as things start to multiply. Multiplication is very, very much a God thing. Right back in Genesis, when God created people, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And yeah, we've done that pretty well. You look at what's going on in India and places like that. Multiplication is happening really, really well. But it's more than that. There has been something that has been placed inside us. Our DNA is the same DNA as the Father, where he's actually given us the ability, the inherent ability to multiply what we do. not to just stop where it is. You know, if God has given you a gift, if God has gifted you in a specific, certain way, that gift is not just for you. It's not just, if God has gifted you to make money, if God has gifted you to be able to really reach out and connect people, if God has gifted you to be a fantastic mother, if God has gifted you to be an amazing father, that gift isn't just for you and your family and your kids. That should be multiplied. That should be multiplied right across the church, and it should be multiplied right across our community. And it can be multiplied across the globe for that matter. So whatever it is, just take a moment and think about the things that you are gifted in, because there is not a single person here who is not gifted in something. You are all gifted in something. And did you know that multiplication happens when you get hold of the fact that that gift is not just for you? It's not just for you. It's actually supposed to be shared. It's actually supposed to be, we talked about last week about what the Holy Spirit does when He comes on us. And when you join that gift together with somebody else, perhaps they have a slightly different gift, or they look at things a different way. When that joins together with the binding together of the Holy Spirit, we get amazing multiplication. Are we back, Paul? Thanks, mate. Maybe not.
How's that?
1, 2. We back? No. Yeah. Yep. All right. I'll grab that if it goes. I think I've got a little bit of Greek in me. I need to use my hands. So we've been looking at Acts chapter 2. And this, if you like, is the birth of the church. And the church was birthed out of multiplication. It never stopped. We see on the day of Pentecost, and we spoke about that last week, there were 120 believers. There were 120 people that had been with Jesus. There were 120 people that had been impacted by His life. And we believe that perhaps that number started off as a lot more. That number might have started off at 500. But Jesus said to His disciples, He said, don't go anywhere. He said, yeah, I've got amazing plans for you. But He said, stay in Jerusalem and wait till the Holy Spirit comes on you. And there was 120 people that had stayed together. They'd stayed unified. They'd stayed committed. And then we get this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And immediately that happens, we see multiplication. We see 120 people suddenly become 3,000. And not long after that, 3,000 becomes 5,000. By the end of the first century, it is believed that there were 1 million believers. So 12 people multiplied to 120. 120 becomes 3,000. 3,000 becomes 5,000. 5,000 becomes over 1 million in less than 100 years. You see, that was the birth of the church. That was always supposed to multiply. And if we went through history and looked at the way the church has moved, and I could talk about figures and things that would absolutely astound you, the way that it's grown. We might say, oh, yeah, 1 million, that's pretty cool. But the church would grow by more than millions of people every single year at the moment as it continues to multiply. So the church has always been about multiplication. And you might think, oh, yeah, I just want to attend church and it'd be just nice to have, you know, a few little things added to my world. In other words, we can come to church and, you know, we can get the kids into kids' church, and that will just sort of add, you know, that little bit of a spiritual element to their life. You see, God is not just about adding to your life. He is actually about the whole nine yards. He's the whole thing. He's wanting to multiply your life. In other words, when you come into the family of God, it's not just about adding a little bit. It's about Him taking everything you've got and Him joining it together with other people by the Holy Spirit, and He wants to multiply that and see amazing growth in your world. So let's, you see, that's why it talks about on the day of Pentecost that people were baptized in the Holy Spirit. In other words, they were totally immersed in the Holy Spirit. That wasn't just added to them. It wasn't just this added dimension that suddenly they had where when they needed it, you know, they could turn the Holy Spirit on and use it. It was the fact that they were immersed in it, and that was changing every single thing about them. That's what God wants to do in us. This year, it's what He wants to do in us. Next year, it's what He wants to do in us today. It's what He is wanting to do in you and me absolutely right now. He wants us to be immersed in His Spirit so that we can multiply. We'll keep going in Acts 2, verse 2. It says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house that they were sitting in. Then what looked like flames and tongues of fire appeared to settle on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave him ability. If we're going to see multiplication happen in our lives, in our church, in our families, in our businesses, I think one of the things that we've got to do is develop a culture of multiplication. You see, culture is actually something that is incredibly strong. When you go to another country, you don't necessarily only talk about the landscape and all that sort of thing. I've been to countries where I can hardly remember much at all about the landscape, but I can certainly remember strongly what the culture of that country was like and what it was like to be among those people and what it was like to be in that place. You see, culture is something that is incredibly strong. And what is the way that we actually transport culture? If I was to say to you, let's think about Europe. And Europe has changed a lot, you know, over the last 20 years, where at the moment Europe has, well, they've had for ages, they've had a single currency, and we know that currency is having all sorts of challenges at the moment, and lots of things going on in Europe in the money sense. But they have a single currency, and there's a whole lot of things that are similar about Europe. And, you know, there are things that we talk about European. You know, when you talk about, oh, yeah, I drive a BMW, sometimes you don't actually say that I've got a German car. You might say I've got a European car. There are a whole lot of things that we associate with Europe. But if I asked you to start to think about some of the individual and the strong cultures in Europe, I reckon you would very quickly think about the French. You would very quickly think that the French have a strong culture, and they have a culture that we can identify really, really quickly. And if I said to you, tell me something about the French culture, all of you would start trying to do your very worst French accent and talk about love and all those sorts of things, because we associate that with the French culture. Now they have actually been very deliberate about that. They have actually chosen that with all the other languages and English and things that are coming in, that they are going to speak French. And they are going to deliberately do that. They're even going to get upset when we grow grapes in Australia and we make them sparkling and we call them champagne. And they've actually said to us, you can't use that anymore. You know, champagne is actually about a certain type of wine in a certain region in France, and you've got to get your own name. You can't have our name. You've got to call it, you know, so we have, you know, sparkling Pinot Noir and we have sparkling Chardonnay and all sorts of things like that, but we don't have champagne anymore, because they've said that this is ours, this is French. You can't have that. You see, one of the reasons that they so cleverly and so deliberately keep a strong culture is that they use their language, is that they decide that they are going to use the French language. You see, a language actually transports culture. A language is able to say something about culture. You see, you can tell a lot about a person by the way they speak. And even in little old Hobart here, we got people that would come from different backgrounds and have been brought up in different ways. And the way that we speak is actually all a little bit different. If you come from somewhere else, you think it's all Aussie. But some of us here could probably have an idea on what sort of suburb or what sort of area somebody grew up in by the way that they speak. I grew up in the northwest of Tasmania, and you can still hear a bit of farm boy in me. And all these things that you can actually hear about the way that somebody speaks. Because you see, our language, our words actually carry culture. And so come with me a little bit further in this, and we'll start at Acts chapter 2 verse 5. It says, at that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. They heard a loud noise and everyone came running out, and they were bewildered to hear their own language being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee, and yet we are hearing them speak in their own native languages. See, language has a capacity, has an ability to unite, but perhaps it also is able to divide. And language can actually unite a vision. The language we use can actually unite us, but the language we use can also divide us. And let's go right back in the Bible to Genesis 11, and it says this. It says, at this time, the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. As people migrated to the east and found a plain in the land of Babylonia, they settled there. They began saying to each other, let's make bricks and harden them with fire. In that region, bricks were used instead of stone and tar was used instead of mortar. And they said, come let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower and the people were building. Look, he said, the people are unified. They all speak the same language. He said, after this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Now, this is quite an incredible situation. Remember, these are ancient people. They didn't have thousands of years of engineering practices at their disposal. They didn't have any of the high-tech materials that we have. They didn't have all those sorts of things. They didn't even have nail guns or cordless drills. They didn't have all the stuff that we have to build amazing cities. But what they did have was a common language. What they had was a common language. And it says that they had a common language and they used the same words. And you might think, oh, well, that sort of means the same thing. But I think it actually means a lot more than that. Because if you notice, within a culture, you will get subcultures. And often those subcultures are defined by the sort of words we use. So like obviously a youth subculture, there are certain words that are used in a youth subculture. And I remember when I got to about grade 7 or something like that, and I started to be influenced by people that were in that sort of, you know, youth thing. And, you know, as a little grade 7 kid, you get to high school and you're very wide-eyed and your ears are open and you're starting to listen to what people are saying and the words that they're using, and they're using stuff you don't even understand. You haven't heard anyone talk that talk before because they didn't talk that in your house. And all these things that go on, and you start to realize that your ability to fit and be part of that culture is determined a lot by the words that you use, how you understand those words and where you use them. And what was actually happening here with these people, yeah, they had a common language, but it was bigger than that. In other words, they were using words that meant something to them. They were using words that were powerful, and they were all using the same words. So they were able, even though they didn't have all the technology that we have to build an amazing city, they were unified around a cause. They spoke the same language. They understood each other strongly because they had words that they used that meant a lot to them, and they were able to do something absolutely amazing. And it's interesting that God comes down, it says, and he looks at what they're doing and he's not that impressed, because they said, oh, let's build a city to ourselves. Let's make ourselves great. Let's do all this amazing stuff. And there was no acknowledgement about where everything that they had came from. There was no acknowledgement about that God was the God who supplied them. There was no acknowledgement that he was the one who had actually given them the language and the ability to communicate with each other. And they were speaking almost a language that came straight out of the heart of God, because that's what he'd placed inside them. And there was no acknowledgement of that. So he says, all right then, if you're not going to use this amazing gift that I've given you for my purposes, I'm going to change it all. So we go from this sense where they're incredibly unified, where they're together, they understand each other, and suddenly they all get different languages. And they couldn't understand one another, they couldn't communicate, so they start to scatter. In other words, they gathered around each other where they found people with the same language, they got together in groups, so something that was unifying them, which was language, and suddenly when the language is split, they'd actually divided, and the vision that was strong that they once had goes off in all these different directions, and we get this divided vision. Yeah. And so much was lost at the Tower of Babel. Their tongues or their language was divided, and their vision was divided, but they lost their knowledge of God, and they began to worship all sorts of other things. In other words, once where they understood who God was, because that wasn't able to be transported through language, they suddenly go off and they start doing all sorts of other things. But we've got this amazing thing here in Acts chapter 2, where thousands of years after the people at Babel had their tongues divided and different tongues that were bringing about unity, the same tongue that brought about unity, and all of a sudden you've got these different tongues that bring about division. God uses different tongues on the day of Pentecost to bring about unity. The birth of the church, God uses different tongues to bring about unity. Because you actually hear what happens when the Holy Spirit's poured out. You've got all these people and they start to speak. And everybody actually comes running around because they start to hear in their own language. They start to hear and they hear what God is doing in their own language, and they gather and they're excited and they say, something is going on here. So we've got this thing which is incredible, sort of difference between what happened when language was first divided and people went off and they went all over the place. But at the birth of the church, God uses the very same thing that divided people to actually bring people back together and gather them around a cause and get them together. So the exciting thing about the birth of the church is where God used language to unite and he engaged people and restored a knowledge of who he was. One of the most exciting components about the language of multiplication is that God will actually use a language and words that will actually unite us and draw us together. See, if nothing was impossible in the eyes of God for people who were not working towards his cause, they were not working towards his vision, they were actually about building their own little town. They were actually about building a tower where they could feel significant, where they could feel important, where they could feel secure. And God looked at what was being achieved and he said, wow. It's a bit like this all-knowing God. Suddenly it went beyond him. You know, I'm being silly. But that is almost the way that we read this. It's like wow, what we've created here is so powerful that nothing will stop them, because they're together, they're unified, they speak the same words, they've got a common language, and nothing is impossible for them. Come forward after the day of Pentecost to where the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the church. How much more powerful for us when we can unite and speak a common language, be united around a single cause, and it's in tune with the will of God. Absolutely nothing should be impossible for us. Absolutely nothing. If people can gather around a cause that was actually opposed to the will of God, that was not honoring or glorifying him in any single way, and God could look at it and say, because of their unity, nothing is impossible for them. Imagine how powerful it is when we speak a common language. Imagine how powerful it is when we speak the language of multiplication, when we speak it together and we're actually in the will of God and God is here with us and he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for us. Absolutely nothing is impossible. We need to go into 2012 speaking a common language. If we want to see multiplication, we have got to speak a common language, and that is going to be incredibly powerful. Nothing can stop us. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. It says, when they heard this loud noise, everybody came running and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are from Galilee and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Galilee wasn't exactly a privileged suburb. It wasn't North Sydney. It wasn't Toorak. The Galatians were sort of known as the country hicks. Their grasp of language wasn't eloquent. They didn't have a good hold of speech. You know, their mums didn't bring them up to talk proper like. And the people in Jerusalem sort of looked down their nose at them a bit, you know, like we've been guilty of doing occasionally with certain groups of people. Let's not do that. Oh, you know, we can talk about bogans and all that sort of thing, and we all do it sometimes, and everybody else thinks somebody else is a bogan, but I'm not a bogan. But you see, those things actually divide. Those things actually separate. Whereas if we can, I think a language of multiplication is where we stop talking like that. And we stop looking at things like that. And sometimes you'll still think that. You'll drive past a certain house and you'll see certain things going on and you'll see stuff there. And you might draw your own judgments. But believe me, if your language starts to change and you start to speak about those things differently, your heart will start to change. And I believe that if we're going to see multiplication in this church and in our lives and in our businesses, we've actually got to stop using those words. We've got to stop talking about those things. And we've got to start talking about unification and togetherness and the fact that God loves all people. You know, God loves bogans just like us. Isaiah 32 verse 4 says, "Even hotheads will be full of a sense of understanding, and those who stammer will speak out plainly." You see, in God, your background isn't a limiting factor. In God, your background isn't a limiting factor. As we allow the Holy Spirit to develop in us a culture and a language of multiplication, people are going to be attracted to that, and people are going to be absolutely amazed at what they hear. So just as I finish, to speak the language of multiplication, I've got some things here that I think are really practical that can help us speak that language. And number one, you've got to sing it. Number one, you've got to sing it. And I'm not saying if you're not a gifted singer, you think, oh, that's just for the gifted ones. But you see, singing is about melody, it's about harmonies, it's about being in time, or it's about being out of time, if you're like me. But the singing is actually about something that is more than just words. It's about something that flows out of us. It's about something that has a rhythm and a flow with it. And I think the language that we speak should have a rhythm, it should have a flow. There should be something, it's going somewhere. And it says this in Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. It says, "Don't be drunk on wine because that will ruin your life." And you don't have to talk a lot more about that. It says, "Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everyone to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, the culture that we have, a culture of multiplication, is one where we actually worship together. It's one where we're thankful to our God together. It is one where we speak words that are encouraging. There's something about a togetherness and a flow in the language that we speak. And when that happens, we're going to see multiplication in an amazing way. Because you see, worship has an ability to transport you from where you are into the presence of God, and it actually changes your perspective. And that is so powerful when you get, hundreds or thousands or many more people who worship together, because we're all transported together into the presence of God, and our perspective changes together, and our outlook on life changes. It's incredibly powerful. So I believe that if we're going to speak a language of multiplication, there's got to be something about us that sings it. There's got to be something that flows out of us, where we're not just sort of down in the mouth all the time, but there's something that is flowing actually out of us. And that's why it says, instead, singing, don't get drunk on wine. In other words, I've had a bad day. I just need a beer and I need a scotch and I need 10 more of them. And suddenly you go into that place of depression, because alcohol is a depressant, and you go into that place of depression. But the inverse of that is that we speak songs and psalms and spiritual hymns. It's not talking about you've got to go around with a hymn book singing hymns all the time. It's actually meaning what actually flows out of your mouth. And there are times where somebody else is perhaps down, and rather than them needing to go to whatever they need to find release from that, whether that be a bottle or something else, that we can actually lift them up with the sound and the things that we speak. So let's be speaking those things. So whether you're a singer or whether you're not, decide that you're going to sing it. It's a culture, it's a language that needs to be sung. Number two, I've got another verse on that. This one's a good one. Colossians 3, 15 and 17, it says, "And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, we are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives, And again here, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do and say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So number two, to speak the language of multiplication, speak a language that's understood. It sort of sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? Because what's the point of speaking if no one can understand you? But sometimes we can do that in all sorts of ways. We can do that in the church. You know, for hundreds of years and thousands of years it happened in the church that people that had the information held it to themselves and they spoke in a language where people didn't quite understand it. Now, in the job that I used to have as an auto electrician, I could, no worries at all, I could baffle people with stuff. And because what happens is I could speak a technical language that they had absolutely no idea about. And they could go away either thinking, oh, wow, that guy knows his stuff, or that guy's an idiot, or whatever. But at the same time, I could actually take what I knew and I could speak it in a language that the average layperson understood. I could take a whole lot of stuff away that wasn't relevant to them and just explain to them, you know, why their car wasn't going or what it needed to have it fixed or whatever. And you see, in the church, some of us have been around a long, long time. We understand all the religious Christian talk and all that sort of stuff. But what are we supposed to do? If we're going to multiply, we've actually got to speak a language that people understand. We've got to speak in a way that the people in your workplace understand. They don't need to know about being sanctified. Well, they probably do need to know about being sanctified, but they don't know what that word means or what it means in their world. You've actually got to speak it in a way that they understand it. And in 1 Corinthians 4:19, it says this. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and he's speaking about tongues. But he says, "But in a church meeting, I would rather five understandable words to help others than 10,000 in an unknown language." In other words, if you can go away this morning with five words that you understood, I've done a lot better job than if I stood up here and I spoke with a whole lot of words that didn't mean a lot to you. That we've got to decide that we speak in languages that people understand. So to speak the language of multiplication, number three, I think this one's a really biggie. The band want to join me, please. Use words like we and us. I had a friend when I was growing up. He was very influential in my life, and he was quite a successful business guy, and he had all sorts of things that he did. And you know, sometimes he'd be talking about the stuff that they were doing, and you know, and he'd say, "Oh yeah, and we did this and." You know, and we and us, and he'd be talking about that, and I'd be thinking, you know, who do you do this with? And what I actually found out after a while is it, often it was just himself, or he, I guess his wife was sort of part of that. But he said to me one day, he said, "You know, if you heard when somebody says I, and I went here and I did this, and yeah, maybe he'd done that once, but he actually chose to insert the I with we." And it was to try and take the focus off just himself and realize that what he had and what he'd been blessed with wasn't just about him. It was about the fact that God had allowed that to happen in his life, that God had done something in his world. You see, we can actually start to use a language that develops multiplication. You know, words like I all the time, it's a very separatist thing, isn't it? It's a very thing that will actually take you out of a situation and stand you apart, stand you on your own. But when we use words like we, you know, you might be the person that did all the hard work. You might be the person that enabled your life group to multiply. You've done a whole lot of hard work with other leaders in your life group and you've got it to multiply. But when you're talking about it, talk about we. Talk about us. Talk about the fact that we did this together. And it's incredibly powerful. You know, those I words, they separate us. They stand us on our own. And after a while, we find ourselves standing by ourselves completely on our own. Believes that God wants to multiply something in your world this year? Who's believing for that? Who's believing for that? want to pray for you right now that we would get hold of the language of multiplication. Where for those, some of you here, you're not singers. You're like me. It's best if you don't sing publicly. You know what I like about church? I like the fact that we have the music loud enough so people can't hear me sing. I know some of you got great voices, and you know, you want it down a bit so people can hear you, but you know, you've got to remember us. But some of you, you know, it's like, you know, you've been a bit of a solo man, solo woman, and you know, you've been speaking your own language. But God's actually wanting you to start to sing. He's wanting you to start to join with other people. He's wanting you to get in the choir. He's wanting you to sing a harmony. And I'm talking figuratively here. The fact that he's actually wanting to bring you in with other people, and he's wanting to take what you've got. Little story, I told you I can't sing. But I had other people in my family that are a lot more musical than me, and my wife's a lot more musical than I am. But my cousin, he was quite musical. And we were talking about it one day, and he said, you know what, Dave? He said, I've heard you singing. He said, actually, you know, you sing really good harmonies. You know, you don't know you're doing it, but I think he's been nice. But he said, you actually sing along. My point is that sometimes you don't feel like you're the person with the lead voice and you're going to be out the front, you're going to be doing these things. But there's something that you've got that God wants to take, and he wants to dovetail it in, and he wants to join it with others. And he wants out of that, as we do that, as we stand together, you know, comes this beautiful sound where we start to sing like a choir. You know, a choir wouldn't work if everybody sung exactly the same. If you know, even if everybody tries to sing the same melody, the fact that everybody's voices, the pitch is just slightly different, and you get this sort of, Alex will tell me whether I'm right here or not later, but you get this sort of, you know, you get this sort of vibrato thing where you get the slight differences in the pitch and the wavelengths and all those sorts of things, and that's what actually gives it its dynamic. The dynamic, the sound. The sound of multiplication is when we bring what we've got and we allow the Holy Spirit to join us together and we start to sing. And we start to encourage. We start to talk one another up. We're not talking about what we've done. We're talking about what somebody else has done. We're using words like we and us. And I just believe now that the Holy Spirit just wants to give some people here that language. He wants to enable some people to start to sing. Just as the band plays, let's just allow the presence of God just to fall on us here this morning. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the ability to communicate, you've given us the ability to connect with you and connect with each other. And Lord, I pray right now as we go into an exciting year where I know that you're wanting to multiply. You're wanting to multiply us. You're wanting to multiply things in lives here right now. I just pray that as you fall on people right now, that there would be those here that start to receive a spirit where they've perhaps never felt like they've sung anything before, but there would be something about the words that they speak that would resonate, that would just get alongside other words, and they would join together and they would be very, very powerful. Lord, I pray for those that feel like they can't do that, and they feel like they're just on their own. They're a solo man or a solo woman. Lord, I just pray right now that Holy Spirit, you would fall on them and you would just break something. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I pray for the encouragers among us. I pray that spirit of encouragement would just rise among us right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And the language that we speak this year would be a language of multiplication. It would be a language that transports the culture of heaven into our situation, into our workplace, into our life group, into our church, into our family, wherever we find ourselves. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's stand. Before I close, I want to ask you the most important question I can ask. Do you know Jesus? You know why people were able to speak that language, why God was able to take ordinary Galilean farmers and fishermen and do something amazing with them, do something where people gathered and people went, wow, something is going on here? It's because they knew Jesus. They knew Jesus. They knew who he was, and they were open to him, and he was able to do something amazing in them. If you don't know Jesus, would you like to know him this morning? Would you like to say, Jesus, I'm a bit scared right now, but I want you to come into my life. I want you to come into my heart. I want you to forgive me for my sins. That's basically just a word that the Bible uses that tells us that we're separated from God because we've rebelled and we've made so many mistakes and we've actually done things like the people that were building that tower that are contrary to the will of God. That we, because of that, we're separated from God. And God, who is a good God and is a just God, needs to deal with that. And the only way that he could do that is through one perfect man. The only perfect man, his son Jesus, was prepared to go and deal with your stuff. He was prepared to die. He was prepared to pay the price. And this morning, if you would be able to accept that and say, I want to connect with God through Jesus. I want you to come into my world, into my heart right now. If that's you this morning, if you'd like to do that, I'll lead you in a prayer in just a moment. A prayer that can be absolutely life-changing. It might be the hardest prayer you ever pray. The words perhaps are easy. But what actually goes on inside our heart is really hard. But if you want that miracle to happen in your life right now, if you want to be in God's family and part of his kingdom and understand and be absolutely part of the culture we've been talking about this morning, why don't you slip your hand up and say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. I've never done that before. I've never made that decision, but I'd like to do that. Just slip your hand up really quickly while no one's looking around and say, hey, Dave, that's me. I'd like you to lead me in that prayer. Is there anybody here that perhaps you've been close to God and you've met Jesus, but you know you're not close this morning? Stuff's gone on in your world and you feel a bit separated and you'd like to come back and make that fresh start with him this morning. If that's you, just slip your hand up and we'll pray together. Say, hey, Dave, that was me. It's me. I'd like to make that call this morning. Jesus. Okay, praise God. Praise God. We're going to close the service right now and team are going to lead us in a song as we finish. It's been fantastic to have you in church today. I just believe that the Holy Spirit has imparted something this morning that we're going to go out and we're just going to start to get hold of that language of multiplication, and we're going to develop a strong culture where we multiply in the will of God. If you're here for the first time, make sure you hang around, get a cup of fantastic coffee and just meet some people. We've got a service on this afternoon, 4 o'clock at New Norfolk. Grant's preaching up there, so that's going to be fantastic. It's going to be brilliant, so get up and encourage the team up there. It's going to be fantastic. Obviously, here again, 10 o'clock next week. Life groups, some of them are already started and others are starting soon, so get in contact with your life group leader. Get ready for that and go away. Have a fantastic week. Make a difference in our city. Make a difference wherever you are. Thanks, guys.
Found.